The Late Little Lotus, written by Emma Wrights, read by Nonplast. Fandom, 魔道祖师。The furtive, curious glances and hushed whispers of the general population of Lotus Pier are something that he's long trained himself deaf to. 10 years old now, it's been years since Uncle Jiang brought him back, and Wei Ying has always been a fast learner. The townspeople rarely had anything nice to say, and so it was better to ignore their barely veiled insinuations. He'd smile at them, tease or play dumb,until he could slip away. Sometimes that meant that he had to do away with politeness and just walk away before he got into a fight in Madame Yu's or Set Li De Jiang's defense. People aren't as subtle or clever as they think they are. That being said, something today compels him to stop and listen. It's not every day that you hear babies and Madame Yu in the same sentence.Mostly because the people of Lotus Pier do have some amount of survival instinct, and, as such, don't mention such things where the fearsome violet spider might overhear. Not even Wei Ying at his most confident would dare even think such things, even if it weren't so mean-spirited. Pushing his back up against the wall of a wine shop, whose alley he often cut through on his way to his favorite lotus pond, he holds his breath and listens.The two washing women had stopped just out of sight of the alley and were doing an awful job of keeping their voices down, which means that he hears every word. Jiang Yanli looks up from the book that she is reading when he bursts into the room.
Shi Jie, is it true?
The last part of this is said in a whisper as he kneels next to her.Because he doesn't actually want to die at the end of Zijian. I guess that would depend on what it is. Jiang Yanli tucks a bookmark, a pressed dried lotus that he had made for her, into her book, and closes it so that she could give him her full attention. His eyes dart around, like Madame Yu would materialize out of thin air. He leans in closer so that he can whisper the last part of his question.
Is Madame Yu having another child?
Oh. Wei Ying waits for her to continue, to dismiss the rumor outright or scold him for entertaining such gossip. But she doesn't. And the silence stretches on. Her gaze shifts away, refusing to meet his eyes, an uncharacteristic show of avoidance from his usually forward Shi Jie.
He gasps. Really?
Ai Ying, she starts, but then stops, unable to think of anything that isn't either a lie or a truth that isn't hers to tell.
Really?
He's bouncing now, his excitement too much for his body to contain.
You're finally getting a brother?
That gets a small laugh out of her. It might not be a boy. He waves her half-hearted protests away.They both know, even if they don't know why they know, that it's going to be a boy. A brother. A boy who'll pout when Wei Ying steals the largest ribs in Shi Jie's lotus rib soup, and who'll laugh when Wei Ying trips himself into the lotus pond. The image is so vivid it almost takes his breath away. Maybe he'll draw something later.He bets the baby will have Madame Yu's chin and cheekbones, and Uncle Jiang's eyes.Later that night, when Madame Yu officially breaks the news, he tries to act surprised. He's not sure he's fooling anyone, let alone Madame Yu, but the news has her in her good mood, and she doesn't call him on it. None of them are visibly taken aback by the news, so he assumes that Uncle Jiang already knew as well. Official confirmation means that they can talk about it, though. Jiang Yanli shares their theory that it's going to be a boy,and neither of the adults tries to contradict the prediction. Madame Yu says something about being a mother and knowing these things. Wing wonders if his own mother knew he was going to be a boy, or that he was going to favor his father's looks. Dinner that night is good. Better than the tense silences that usually blanket them while they eat. Food tastes even better when you aren't worried that the slightest thing will start an argument. He can't wait for his shidi to get here. He's sure that he'll bring with him more of these happy moments. The baby decides that he's going to join them a month early, while a thunderstorm rages around them. He at least has the decency to wait until the start of the day, even if one might not be able to tell the difference outside. The clouds block out most of the sun, with the only lights coming from lanterns, talismans, and the occasional flash of lightning. Wei Ying is still groggy with sleep when Jiang Yanli pulls him from his room and towards the healing quarters. The news that the baby is coming woke him up for a while, but as time drags on and no news is forthcoming, he starts to flag. It isn't his fault. Who told the baby to come so early in the morning? And so ahead of schedule. How rude. Jiang Yanli tisks at him playfully when he tells her this. It relieves a little of the tension in the air, at least. Because the baby is early, and Uncle Jiang isn't due back to the sect for days. So that leaves the two of them to wait for news and fret uselessly. It's almost midday when one of Madame Yu's attendants slips into the room. A few words are exchanged with Shi Jie, and then they are led down the hall. When they reach the healer's room, their escort doesn't hesitate to open the door. The loud wailing that floods the hall should be startling, now that it's no longer being suppressed by silencing talismans. But instead, he finds himself relaxing. The silence had been unnerving, he realizes now. Babies aren't supposed to be quiet, and that goes double for this one. The three of them enter the room, with him trailing in the back. This means that he has to lean to the side to peek around Jiang Yanli's shoulder to see the bed. He's unsurprised to see that Madame Yu looks perfectly poised, even propped up in bed and holding a squalling infant. One does not simply catch Madame Yu looking anything less than immaculate. There you are! She glares at them, like they've inconvenienced her by having to walk here, rather than just teleporting to her side. Yanli, come say hello to your brother. Jiang Yanli wastes no time crossing the distance and is soon hovering over her mother and brother. Hello there. Wei Ying has only ever heard her use that tone of voice with him before. Edging a little closer, he tries not to draw attention to himself, even as he tries to get a better look at the baby. His relationship with Madame Yu has never been pleasant. While never outright horrible to him, she spends most of her time ignoring his very existence when she can. It's only during training that she turns those sharp eyes on him, pushing him harder than any of the other disciples. He doesn't mind, and has told Uncle Jiang so when he expressed his concern. Wei Ying has always been aware of the rumors. What they say about his own mother and Uncle Jiang, and how much those rumors must hurt Madame Yu. He's lucky that she's simply been ignoring him. Still, he can't help but want to get closer, even if it risks sparking her ire. It's like there is an invisible rope pulling him in, and the other end is clutched in those little fists. Those tiny hands wave in the air, like a little prince screaming his displeasure to the world. He wants to say hello, to tease that little nose, tell him that he'll get wrinkles if he keeps it scrunched up like that. A tightness, a weight that has been holding his heart hostage for as long as he can remember, releases its hold. It's like suddenly he's found a piece of himself that was carelessly lost down the river. It feels a little like a miracle. Glancing at Madame Yu and Jiang Yanli, he can tell that he isn't alone in feeling so. Weighing, with all the pride that comes from being 10 and too smart for his age, would deny being driven to distraction those next few weeks. Madame Yu had taken 2 days of bed rest before she was back on the training yards, yelling at them over their incompetence. The fact that she had an infant wrapped snugly to her chest in a sling should have made her less intimidating. But it didn't. He'd even go as far as to say that it made her even more terrifying. His fellow disciples, panting and sweating through their robes every day, would agree with him in this matter. Uncle Jiang rushed home several days early, as soon as he'd gotten the news, and Weying had gotten to see a new side of his sect leader these past few weeks. He hesitates to call it doting, but there has been a lot of hovering, and Madame Yu's cup was never empty at mealtimes. The few times he had seen the sect leader holding the new baby, he had been so careful, as if he was afraid of touching his own son. Weying thought that he might be overreacting, but it was nice to see the two leaders in complete agreement over something, even if that was hovering over their new son like he was going to disappear any second. Coming back from afternoon training, and a dip in the pond that he had taken to cool off after, he is greeted with the rare sight of his Shi Di without Madame Yu. She must have deemed sect leader Jiang competent enough, because he's the only one in the room when he enters. Well, him and the little bundle of purple in his arms.
Ah, hello, Aying.
Uncle Jiang looks up, his gaze still soft from staring at his son.
How was training?
Not as hellish as when Madame Yu is in charge.
Plopping down next to the sect leader, he tries not to show how excited he is to be able to get close to the new baby. He's remained a careful distance since his birth, but his limited stores of patience are starting to come to an end.
The sect leader hums diplomatically. Well, I'm sure you worked hard, even without her there to push you.
Of course!
He uses this as an opportunity to lean closer. His hair, slightly damp in its messy ponytail, makes the terrible mistake of being within grabbing reach. The same little fist that had raged against the world only weeks ago reaches up and takes a firm hold of a strand of hair. Weying has a split second of thinking, "Ah, that's cute," before the young master of Yunmengjiang proves his strength to them.
Ow, ow, ow!
Bending his head down under the mighty pool, he ends up awkwardly trying to keep from falling on top of the baby.
Help, please! Get him off! Ow!
Jiang Fenmian valiantly tries to bite back his laughter, but it's already spilling out of him. Still, he gently uncurls his son's fist from Weying's hair.
It would seem that he has strong opinions on how you style your hair.
Uncle Jiang!
The lotus ponds of Yunmengjiang are his favorite place in the world. There is nothing better than swimming through the lotuses or resting in a boat as it floats lazily across the water. He loves that he can just reach out and pluck a lotus pod and eat the seeds. There truly isn't anything better than sitting back and enjoying a day on the water. Even if someone is being a grouch.
Are you going to sulk all day?
Wei Wuxian leans forward so that his elbows are resting against his knees. He cups his chin in his palm and watches as the little figure on the other side of the boat pointedly doesn't look at him.
Come on, Jiang Cheng, is this really how you want to spend my last day here? I planned this so that you could spend some time with your favorite Shi Xiong before I'm gone. Who said you're my favorite?
The young master of Lotus Pier certainly hasn't lost any of the fire he had shown on the first day.
And stop talking as if you're never coming back. Ah, but Jiang Chen, you didn't see the scroll they sent. So many rules. I'm sure they'll bury me under that rock of theirs before the classes are over. If you don't break the rules, then they'll have no need to.
At the tender age of 7, Jiang Cheng scolds him like a senior. Really, if anyone outside of Lotus Pier saw how often the young master stopped to scold unruly disciples, they'd be accused of letting him run around possessed.
But there are so many!
Wei Wuxian dramatically flops forward so that his chest is pressed up against his knees, like a depressed turtle.
Stop whining! It's not like you don't already have them memorized.
And his shiti really does know him too well, because Jiang Chen then texts on,
Don't even think about trying to sneak in alcohol. Show some restraint, and wait until you're released for a rest day, and then go down to Cai Yi Town like everyone else.
Knowing better than to question him about how he knows that, Wei Wuxian just continues to whine.
So cruel to your shixiong.
Jiang Cheng scoffs.
Someone has to make sure you don't cause a scene.
Wei Wuxian laughs, as amused as always at being scolded by his shiti. He straightens, and then reaches out and plucks a lotus pod. Years of practice means that getting the seeds out is child's play. Once he's freed the last one, he holds it out to his grumpy shiti. Jiang Cheng hesitates for a moment, before snatching it from his hand and tossing it into his mouth. All without so much as a thank you. So rude. Popping the next seed into his mouth, he uses eating as an excuse to think for a moment. Jiang Cheng has been sulking for weeks now, and refusing to explain why. And yes, he had teased Jiang Cheng about him missing Wei Wuxian, but he knows his shiti well enough to know that that's not all there is to it. He spent the last 7 years learning all the different ways that Jiang Cheng can worry, fret, and brood. And this went a little deeper than simply missing his shixiong. Jiang Cheng! He drops the teasing tone in his voice. He leans to the side, and then forward, to try and meet Jiang Cheng's gaze. Eventually, those sharp eyes catch his own. And yes, that is actual worry there. And, unfortunately, he's pretty sure he knows what it's for. Sighing, a rare stern scowl settles heavily on Wei Wuxian's face. We've talked about this. I'm not going to leave you. I'll be back as soon as classes are over. Jiang Cheng sits even straighter, if that's possible, and narrows his eyes into a defensive glare.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
Ah, Jiang Cheng. This little shidi of his really makes him want to bang his head against the wall sometimes. So stubborn.
Fine, if you don't trust me, then at least trust Shijie to drag me back.
That does make Jiang Cheng's face soften, which is why he had brought her up.
And I'm sure you've already put the fear of you in the other disciples. I'm sure they'll be on their best behavior, like the proper little killjoys you're training them into. Well, at least I know there'll be someone there to make a good impression.
He can't tell if Jiang Cheng is joking, but he supposes it doesn't matter.
But just to be safe, if you meet anyone you want to marry, you have to inform them that you will not be allowed to marry outside of the Jiang sect.
The words hit him like a sword hilt to the head, and he jerks back in surprise, nearly capsizing their little boat.
He's definitely not blushing. Shut up! Jiang Cheng!
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podfic, comments and kudos would be greatly appreciated. You can also click through from AO3 to the original fic and leave comments and kudos for the original writer.